I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Capes on the Couch podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Dr. Issues is a psychiatrist, but he is not your psychiatrist and does not have knowledge of your individual situation. For any personal mental health concerns, please consult your own healthcare providers. For medical emergencies, please call 911 or the designated number in your area immediately. Remember that you are not alone and help is out there.
Hello and welcome to Capes on the Couch, where comics get canceling. I'm Anthony Sitko.
And I'm Dr. Issues.
This is a yet again Creators on the Couch episode, and for the fifth time, five times,
yes.
Oh man, yes.
We have the esteemed Alan Dunford and Will Radford, creators of Pocus Hocus, here to talk about their latest Kickstarter. Gentlemen, a pleasure as always to have you once again on the show.
Yeah,
thank you.
Definitely love being here, and I can't wait to. I want to also lightly touch on Grandma Chainsaw too, because you guys finally had a chance to read the full thing. So I do want to talk about that just a smidgen.
That's fine. We can absolutely get into that. We're the second creator/creators we've had on for five times. So a couple months behind Erica Schultz. She just beat you into the Five Timers Club, but she is no longer alone now.
Oh, it's a good club to be a part of.
Yes,
it is a good club. You don't get jackets, but you do get charity donations to a charity of your choosing, as selected by Erica. She turned down a starter jacket or Zubaz pants. I was like, something retro 80s Giants, something. And she's like, no, donate. So we'll find a charity that is near and dear to you guys and donate to you as well. But so you're here to talk Pocus Hocus, the fifth book in the series, which is technically chapter two, book one, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I guess before we get into the story for the folks that may be new to the show and haven't heard the previous four times you guys were on, just give a brief background of yourselves and, you know, why it is that we've been fortunate enough to have you on the show for five times now.
Okay. So I'm Alan Dunford, co-writer, co-creator, Grandma Chainsaw. And yeah, I don't know how did this even happen? Like how did Will and I even get here in the first place with this comic book stuff? And two, how did we even link up with you guys? I don't even know.
We sold our souls, remember?
Oh yeah, that's what it was. I forgot. Doc's into some weird stuff.
I'm tired of having to remind you about that, Alan.
Well, that was part of the deal that Doc made, was that I couldn't remember, but you did.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, there was some hypnotism involved in that too.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, that's Will, by the way. Go ahead, Will.
Oh, hey everybody. Yeah. I am Will Radford. I am the co-writer of Pocus Hocus and Grandma Chainsaw. And that's the co-writer, co-creator, Al, my partner in crime. We make a lot of fun comic books together. That's what I do these days, and I'm having a great time. So,
and we're lucky to have you guys back. The Kickstarter for Pocus Hocus is live as of January 24th. So we're going to get this up in the beginning of February. We just wrapped up our Lantern month, and then we'll rearrange the schedule a little bit to make sure that we give enough promotion time for this episode while the Kickstarter is still going on. So we'll have links in the show notes, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we will also, obviously, as we have done for the prior four or five times, however many Kickstarters y'all have done at this
the
point.
The other 30 campaigns we feel like we've ran.
Yeah. Well, we'll be contributing to that total. Yeah. I don't think we'll be needing to buy the full library. We may not be doing...
I think you have everything.
We have everything. I've got... Yeah. I have at least two or three copies of The Trade at this point for that, plus Grandma Chainsaw and Horace in Hell and so many fantastic titles. And very much looking forward to seeing this in print in my hands, in my physical hands. It's more important to me about the physical than Doc. I know he just enjoys the stories.
Oh, do you just read them to him at night? He just sat by his bed. Doc doesn't even have a copy.
I'm the same way. I won't even read Kindle if I can avoid it, just because I prefer to have a physical copy. So I get you. I get you on that.
Yeah, definitely. I like having a physical copy. I don't know that I necessarily need 3011 copies of the same book, but then again, I buy all of my variants for Moon Knight, mm-hmm. and I've got like 95% of every variant that's ever been made for Moon Knight across his entire history. So who's to say I'm not a hypocrite?
Yeah.
So chapter two, book one is the Kickstarter. So the first four books were sort of chapter one in the overall story. And we are now moving into chapter two. When last we left our intrepid heroes, I wouldn't call
whatever
them
you
heroes,
want to call them, right?
Protagonist characters. Yeah. When last we left the main characters, I'm not trying to spoil too much for the folks that haven't had an opportunity to read books one through four yet, but the overall gist of it is that Pocus and Emily have gone to hell to find the demon whose name has been revealed now. Should I say the name? Should we say the name? Is it still a spoiler?
I said this is the bad part, right? We're at that point in the story now, especially when we have to do previews on Kickstarter for people who are new jumping in. It's so hard to not spoil too much, right?
Yeah.
So I think the demon's name's fair game just because it's the chapter of the new one. It's the chapter title. Right.
That's true. Yeah. It is in the chapter. So the demon's name is...
Oh, right before you said it, even. I have been dying to say this character's name in interviews for so long.
Well, then, Will, I will give you the opportunity, then. I will steal your thunder.
Okay, Hugo. The demon's name is Hugo. There it is. It's out in the open. I could stop dripping with anxiety every time I do one of these interviews because I've had to catch myself and bite my tongue. I've almost said it on so many different occasions.
You have.
It's a big relief.
The physical catharsis I can see on camera that comes over you is palpable.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt.
So our crew has entered hell to retrieve Pocus's soul, which is not exactly where they thought it was. And so they have to go through the menagerie of characters that we discussed last time. And they're now entering a new dimension under the control of a major demon whose name I'm not going to, I'm again, it's the kind of thing it was stated in the previous volume. So I don't know if I want to say the name of the head of this realm out loud, but it's at least for me, it's a major name of a demon that at least in some other mythologies or series is familiar to me, but I'll leave that up to Alan and Will if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it in the thing because it was cool to us that we made this character Lilith, and she likes to go by Lily because it makes her sound more approachable, right? So, like the idea, when we introduced her, when our Oracle was giving her titles, one of the most important ones to us was Name Who Has No Chains. So it doesn't matter to her if you guess her name, because she's that powerful and she's just that removed from these laws that we set before.
Yeah, I've come across a couple other situations and stories where the name of like the major demon is named Lilith. And so seeing that in this story, I was like, oh, okay, that's what they're going for. I think Spinneret is one that I don't know if you guys.
Yeah, we really wanted to just play around with that too, because we feel like Lilith is thrown around so much, that name. And that's why we also wanted to kind of make fun of ourselves a little bit for picking it. That's why we just call her Lily too.
So Lily has seemingly control of Pocus's soul. And I've had an opportunity to read at least the first couple of pages of this volume. And I'm very intrigued as to where this is going, because as with the first volume, it's apparent that there are other things at play here that may not be apparent to even some of the characters involved, that their fates are intertwined, shall we say. So I'm very curious to see where this is going to go moving forward. I guess first off, how many books is chapter two? Is this going to be another four book chapter?
Yes. Yeah. So we're doing another four or however you want to say it. We're doing another four issue run for this chapter.
Okay. And then how many chapters ahead have you planned, or how many chapters do you see for this whole story?
Well, what I think we've already talked about two more chapters after this one already.
Yeah, at least I would say that we've planned
pretty far in advance. For Pocus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because this, we'll obviously touch on this later, but like with Grandma Chainsaw, to us, it lends itself better in a smaller vacuum. Just doing like a 4-issue run of that, it sounds good because we don't want a Jason Goes to Manhattan situation on our hands where we don't know what we're doing with this character anymore because we think Hazel will just work better in smaller. But with the story like Pocus and how big this world is getting, and I just think it lends itself really well to a series and we could just do so much with it and all the weird characters that we're introducing along the way.
That's the big thing. I think we realized too, especially when we sat down to start 2-1 is what I'll say. One of the things that we found that really propelled us forward and got the momentum going again was our discussion about characters. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the new characters were almost one of the first things that we talked about in regards to it, which could be my own selfish thing. I know whenever I sit down to write something, I always start with characters and backstory.
Yep.
But when we started thinking about that and cracking each other up like we always do, and the rhythm came in as familiar as it always does again, I think that's when we knew, okay, we were really, really confident going forward then, because, I mean, that's the thing I'm the most excited for in this arc, really, are the new characters that we're going to introduce and how those then propel these characters and also the readers deeper into this world and also give them something new.
Yep.
Yeah. Character driven stories for me are always exciting. And I've talked about this previously, I think both with you guys and with other creators and just on the show in general. I mean, action is great. Punchy, punchy stuff is cool. Makes for awesome splash pages. But if you don't care about the characters, if you don't care about what is driving the story, it's just going to kind of fall flat. You know, I know Doc has similar feelings about that as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part of why we have the podcast the way we do. The idea that you could take characters that may or may not be based on real people, but still are unique enough that we can quite literally talk about their psyche. That's an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why creators come on this show, because not that we don't discriminate, but at the same time, we recognize when we see it, people that put that level of effort into it. So it's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. And one thing that I'll say about Alan and myself too, is like whenever we've had those conversations, whenever we started doing this, working on it, everything, the character driven aspect of it was so important. We wanted dimensions to these characters. And I think I've figured out that a lot of that, looking back on Alan and I's, you know, friendship and, you know, ever since high school up until this point, this is how scrambled my mind is today, guys. Ever since high school up until this point, we've always sort of talked about people and characters and these sort of scenarios that we will come up with and put people and characters in. And I think that really just stems, honestly, I mean, this might kind of sound kind of bizarre, but I think it stems from a love of people. It's like a love of people, their mannerisms, their personalities, their diversity, everything. Yeah. And that's such a weird, eerie thing, like not eerie, but weird thing for me to say, because, you know, I guess something about my mannerisms or personality makes people think that I hate people or that I'm not a people person, which I guess in some ways is true on surface social levels. But no, I think a lot of that information on how we write these characters comes from that. I really do.
You got that resting bitch face.
Yeah. We've got RBF bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, it screams misanthrope. And
right. Yeah, exactly.
That guy off in the corner at the party just staring at everybody. I hate everybody here.
Right. It's like, guys,
who the hell do they think they are enjoying themselves?
I'm more like Tim Burton than I am Thomas Ligotti, I promise. I'm much more interested in genuinely getting to know people and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. Small gatherings, small,
yes,
intimate all those situations.
Yeah.
Same. Even more so for Doc.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Even more so for Doc.
That's understandable. I mean, I definitely get that. Yeah. I mean, given the work and everything that, it's got to be.
I think comes across actually in the stories, because it does ultimately come down to a very small group of characters that you're dealing with. You're not talking some large ensemble cast where you have to juggle 20 different characters and all of these various subplots. I mean, when it comes down to it, you've got the four mains is Hugo, mm-hmm. you know, Pocus, Emily, and to some extent, Horace as well. Mm-hmm. That's really it.
Or amigos, I think, yeah.
I think once you start getting beyond that, then there's different dynamics at play, certainly with additional characters. But I think the interplay among those four key folks is really what drives the story. And so I think that idea that you're not hammered with the large crowds and the large mm-hmm. settings that comes across in the story, whether it was intentional or not, I think it.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never thought of that, but no, I think you're right. I do think you're right about that. Yeah.
It sounds like something Doc would have said, probably, you know, like, oh, I'm going to psychoanalyze the meaning behind this. And
No. I mean, it's, well, even writing in general, I've always preferred to work with a smaller group of like primary characters. And I think maybe that's what it is, Alan. It's the fun comes in the secondary character writing and knowing that some of these characters are just going to drop in long enough yeah. for them to do what they need to do and then they'll be gone.
Yeah, but there is one character, though, and I can't wait to talk to him about you guys in the next episode that we introduce. I sent you the artwork for him in your guys' email. And he shows up in the last two pages that are inked that I sent you guys. Let's just say he's a very essential character to us getting us to where we need to go to, because he knows the ins and outs of where they're at. And I hope it comes across this way, but when we were writing this script, and I never thought it could happen, when we finished Grandma Chainsaw issue 2, Will and I, we were in tears, we're cracking up at how all the, just the wild stuff that happens in it and how it ends is just so crazy for issue 2. And it's a good lead in for 3, but there's one scene in Hocus Hocus, this issue, volume 2, number 1, where Will, I think it was the hardest that we've ever laughed when writing something, and it involves that character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it's a full page of just absolute nonsense. It's probably us at our worst, honestly, when I think about it. But we had so much fun writing the thing, and it's okay. just so stupid.
I appreciate you guys saying that, because although I will admit we don't write on the scale that you guys do, like, we're not writing comic books yet, we do write for our show, and we write for a skit. And without going into detail, I know that feeling that you are expressing directly, because maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago, I ended up in this zone, and I'll be honest, it was very childish, but my soul was just laughing inside so hard. And I said, I don't care if a single person on this planet enjoys this as much as I am right now. I needed to do this.
Yeah.
And then around that same time, I get a text from Anthony, and he says, this is the greatest thing you've ever done. So the idea that you get into that type of flow state of just pure enjoyment of the process in addition to the result. And that's the thing. Even if you don't think it's going to hit with everybody, it's like, it doesn't even matter, but somehow it's even better because you know it will hit with the people you need to.
And it's funny because it's such a simple joke how we did it. Like, obviously, when you guys see it, I think you'll know what we're talking about. But it's such a simple joke. And it just goes for a little bit. And it's just, it's good. It's honestly just good, fun, clean humor. And it just cracked us up. Yeah. And Grandma Chainsaw, we kind of have to change our minds a little bit because we have to go to a really dark place for some of the stuff that we have to do for that one.
Very different.
Yeah, but we still have fun. You know, hey, we're here.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fun is the name of the game for me. I mean, like, I've never had more fun in my life working on anything creatively than I have writing these comics, you know? And I mean, that's the honest to God truth. And don't want to single out comics specifically in saying that, because I have read some very, very moving comic books. I've read some very, very unsettling, horrifying comic books. They can conjure up all of these emotions. But for me, it's just writing in this medium. I mean, there's no kind of creative fun quite like this, you know. And I hope it's the same for the rest of the team. But then I look at their work and the painstaking precision that went into it. I'm just like, oh my God. Yep. I hope that they are also enjoying this and finding that same inspiration.
Well, again, based on the fact that we've had you on now 5 times, I think that passion and that joy comes through in the stories. And it's not just obviously the artwork, but it's the characterization and the writing, the interplay and the dynamics. You need to have that. And if you are just going through the motions, people pick up on that. Yes. And they may enjoy it. It may still be good, but it can definitely come across. Whereas I will enjoy passion. Mm-hmm. I love seeing people that are passionate about something, even if it's not something that I'm necessarily interested in or that I care about or that I share that passion. If you are all in, if you are balls to the wall on something and it comes through every pore of your being, I will go on that journey with you for at least a little while, just because it's fun, because it's infectious, and that passion comes through, and it comes through your writing. And I hope to our listeners, it comes through the show that when we're on something and when we're not on something, but you know what I mean, it's a whole other show. That could be an entirely separate
topic.
Actually,
that's how we wrote Grandma Chainsaw, but we'll talk about that later.
All right. Hey, listen, I'm here for it. No, but when you're on that vibe, when you just, it's clicking and you're in the pocket there, it really comes across. And I find that those episodes, I'm the guy who checks the numbers. I know Doc couldn't care less, but I'm the guy that checks the numbers like a couple times a week. Those episodes where I feel, you know what, we really just, we vibed, we clicked, whatever, they seem to do a little bit better downloads wise than some of the other episodes, even if the character that we're talking about isn't a huge name. You know, we have some big name characters, and then we have some characters where people are like, man, I don't know anything about that one, I'm going to skip it. And that's fine. Not every episode has to be for every person, but the episodes that draw people in, that I think maybe some of like the sleeper hits, are the ones where things are going well. And I find that passion again comes through with your writing and your stories. And we've had creators on that they have good stuff, but it's just like, okay, this is whatever. And then not to blow smoke, but you guys, it comes through. And that's why we've had you on as many times as we have. And there's other creators that I would love to have back, because it bleeds through the page and you're like, you get it. You're reading it and it pulls me in again, even if it's not a subject matter or character that I care a lot about, it pulls me in. And so I appreciate that.
Well, I've noticed that dynamic in just a lot of things, just life in general, is the genuine, like the authenticity will shine through oftentimes, even in the most seemingly inauthentic situations. But that's a really good point. And if that is the case, Alan, we really should have a winner on our hands with this new issue, because it was the most fun I've had since writing issue 3. Just in terms of like the humor and just the way that it escalates and all that.
This issue builds a lot.
It does,
And I'm so sorry in advance, but we are just going to cut the bottom out and just right where you guys are standing, because we have a very abrupt ending for this issue. It's very on purpose. Yes. And it's one of those, we hope it comes through this way. I think this might be the most abrupt ending that we have. And it's we hope abrupt, that it bleeds through to a, oh my God, I need number 2 now. Right. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put it this way, Anthony, even more so than me, but I did grow up a little bit with Monty Python. If anybody has ever seen an episode of Monty Python's Flying Circus, the whole point of it is they knew themselves. They didn't know how to write endings. Right. I'm not saying you guys don't. I know you guys have a plan.
No, Monty Python is just a bunch of inside jokes.
Yeah.
That we just happen to be a part of now.
Right. Well, so that's why it's so endearing. You guys, 100%, I agree with those things.
Yeah, I absolutely did grow up on Monty Python and the show and the movies and everything. And I'm almost tempted to go off on a tangent about Monty Python and the passion I feel for it. But
that's the beauty of having your own show. Go ahead and do it.
So the thing about Monty Python is I saw Spamalot in theaters. I saw the Broadway show Spamalot. And the thing that gets me about stuff like Spamalot and the legacy of Monty Python, and they've spoken about this themselves, the whole point of Monty Python was to completely almost create Dada-esque humor. We're going to do whatever the hell it is that we want. It's not going to make sense. It's going to be non sequiturs, and it's going to be embracing the absurd. And the fact that now Python-esque is a term, an umbrella term that is used for a style of humor, is antithetical to the very thing that they were trying to do. And Spamalot is, again, I appreciated it. I thought there were parts of it that were very funny, and I appreciated the technical aspect of it. but it spoon-fed the jokes to the audience, and it pissed me off so hard.
You never, never came back from
example,
it. Did you? Thank you.
That in the movie, there are those who call me Tim.
Tim.
You know, we go through this whole thing with John Cleese with the fire and the horns on the head and, you know, the thick Scottish accent and everything like that. And he's Tim the Enchanter.
Right, right.
In the movie, it's just there are some who call me Tim.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of like, okay, and then you just move on.
Yeah.
In Spamalot, they follow that up with King Arthur turns to the knights and he's like, well, that's not a very scary name, is it? I'm like, you ruined the fucking joke.
That's
right.
Yeah. You just stood up in your chair and you just walked out.
I was so pissed. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, speaking of David Mamet earlier, that would have been one of those moments, but one of those moments where he like stood up in the theater, yelled bullshit, walked out in the middle of rehearsal. Yeah, theater will do that shit. Theater will, and coming from a background of theater, it's not subtle. It is not subtle, like ever. And so that's why I think that certain things work in theater and certain things don't. Everything has its appropriate medium. Yeah, Monty Python, on the surface, you might think, because so much of it is outrageous, that it would translate really well to theater, but you just illustrated a great way of you know, how it ultimately, I've not seen Spamalot, but how it might not, you know, so.
Yeah, and the fact that what started off as whatever, we're just going to do these insane things, and now, like 50, 60 years later, you have people that quote the parrot sketch like verbatim. And I know I'm just as guilty. I have done it myself. I have referenced Monty Python. I could give you the Holy Grail, like line for line, because I've seen it so I don't know how many times.
Yeah. Right.
I will insert in my own life and now for something completely different. Like I will just throw it in there. So I'm admittedly as guilty of it as the next person. But and there was an XKCD comic about this as well, about the notion of trying to make an anti-joke and go for the humor that subverts the expectations.
Right.
And so to tie this all the way back, because there was a point to the tangent that my ADHDs will eventually get back to, is I appreciate the abrupt ending sometimes, because if you think it's going a certain place and you subvert it, that is where the humor comes from. And also, this just came to me, but it's a perfect segue into Grandma Chainsaw. And
yes!
The ending.
Yes!
Yeah, no, it is.
I do manage to tie things back. I do come up with good shit
once
in a while.
I don't know how you did that.
That's pretty cool.
You did it. Anthony, you did it, you crazy bastard.
chalk one up for me. So Grandma Chainsaw very much ends on a what TV tropes likes to refer to as a Gainax ending, where you just go, the fuck, like D-A-F-U-Q, the fuck. That's the kind of ending Grandma Chainsaw 1 ended on for me, because I was like, okay. And I remember when we spoke about Grandma Chainsaw, I think both when we were doing Pocus 4 and then when we had the Grandma Chainsaw specific episode, it was very much this ending and this story is going to start off in one place and it's going to take a hard left turn.
We warned you. We warned you.
You did warn me.
And Doc said over there, all leaned back in his chair with that beautiful face of his, with that little grin that I love so much. And he was like, nothing really surprises me anymore because I've watched a lot of horror.
Oh my God.
And then you pulled your corn cob pipe out.
Yeah.
And then you took a puff of it. And I was like, okay, we'll see. We'll see, Doc.
Right, right.
Tell me how Grandma Chainsaw 1 ends. I dare you.
No, I can't complain. I did not sit back. I did basically give the reaction that Anthony kind of pointed out. Like, all right. Okay, then. I'm in.
Yeah, you're either on board or you're not.
Let's go.
Right?
Yeah, I would. There were any number of ways that I saw this issue ending. Being rescued by Captain Neckbeard and the Fedora Squad was not on that list. If you'd have given me 50 guesses as to how this would have ended, I would have gone 0 for 50.
Oh my God, I'm crying.
Yeah,
right now.
not even close. Like I'm like
they're being rescued by the Incel Avengers. Like this is
okay. So all right, let's go and talk about
that. Just got worse.
Let's go.
Okay, so
yeah, let's just do the damn thing then. Let's talk Grandma Chainsaw.
Okay, so we'll probably jump around a little bit with this, but so obviously anyone listening, full spoilers ahead, and this is one of those where the spoilers are unavoidable because of how it ends and how we have to even show preview pages for issue two. Like, if you didn't read issue one, you're going to be very confused.
Yeah.
Whenever you see issue two stuff. So, you know, Grandma Chainsaw starts off like your typical slasher. You know, we have four people lost in the woods. They wash up on Hazel's doorstep because guess what? GPS doesn't work. They're in the middle of nowhere, right? The original intro for Grandma Chainsaw was something that Will and I tossed around a lot because we're both big into character development. And with this one, we really had to take a back seat for why they were going where they were going, because we needed them to get there, because there's only so many pages that we can tell the story. Because originally this issue ended because we had more backstory for why they were traveling to where they were traveling. And it actually ended with the hand going over Gabby's face and it just cut there. So you didn't know if it was someone evil rescuing her or if it was someone helpful out in the woods. But Will and I made the decision. Will, I think you talked me into it. That we needed
it the other way around. Now,
oh, really? Okay.
I can't remember. I was gonna say I think maybe you talked me into it.
I can't remember. Yeah, we're just one body at this point. But yeah. Whenever we wrote it, we were like, we have to put them in here at the end. It's gonna sell it. This is gonna sell the issue. We cut the intro really short comparatively to what we originally wanted it.
Right. Yeah. In my mind, it would be like the hand that came over the mouth would be just the abrupt kind of thing you guys are talking about. And it would be the cliffhanger and it would keep it sort of grounded in this horror thing. The problem is, and I realized this since then, and Alan and I have talked about it, is that I think it would potentially deflate too much of the momentum at the beginning of the second issue. That people would get it and then they would be like, why is this humor here? Whereas where it's at the end of the first issue,
after a lot of serious stuff just happened.
Even just serious, but like batshit crazy stuff, we get this completely new batshit crazy thing. I think people respond. I mean, I think that was the right
choice. So the response that we've gotten, and it was so funny because we hope that people would like it. Create something, you want someone to like it, right? But the response was unanimous across the board, because how Will and I had to sell the comic, we felt like we maybe undersold it, but we didn't want to reveal too much. We didn't want to reveal that there was something different about Hazel.
You did a great job with that.
Because we sold it as just your stereotypical slasher, Grandma Chainsaw. It kind of does what it says on the label, right? But really under the surface, we didn't want to talk about there's something different about Hazel, and we didn't want to talk about the neckbeards waiting out in the woods that are ready to rescue them. Loosely rescue them. So it was one of those things where we had to pitch it that way, but now all the responses that we got back were, I did not expect any of this, and I loved it. That has been everyone's blanket review. I didn't expect it to end that way. And Will pitched the idea for Demon Hunters, and then we tossed them around because originally it was just going to be like good old boys from Appalachia, like stuff like around here, right? Guys that like skin a buck, run a trout line, stuff like that, right? But then we were tossing around. It's like, that's kind of done a lot. Like, you see that, like Deliverance, you know, things like that, right?
Tucker and Dale versus the evil. Which is hilarious. I'm not knocking it,
But then we decided, what if we make it like neckbeards? What if we make them gamers? Like guys that think that they can save people, but they can't even like file their own taxes, right? Like, so then we decided to only use gamer tags for them for their names, like code words. And then that's when just the hilarity ensued. And we were kind of worried, I think, too, right, Will? We were afraid it was going to take too much of a left turn whenever they got out of the house.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever any disagreement on whether or not to do it. But it was like, we just wanted to be sure that it was done as correctly as it could be. And I mean,
and the humor was wild to juggle too.
Yeah.
Because is everyone in the know on this? Right. And if they're not in the know on this kind of culture of people, because hell, these are our people. I play Magic the Gathering. I play D&D. I'm raised around these guys. Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do we make it funny enough to where we're not coming off as like mean spirited? And then how do we make it funny enough to where people who don't know this culture or this subgroup will laugh at this and understand it as well.
Get what's going on. Yeah. And the idea was never really to single out a specific culture or anything like that as a whole.
We're just making fun of ourselves, honestly.
And a personality type also that.
And everyone knows someone like these people.
Right.
Yeah.
And that will lend itself to a character that you might want to see die in a slasher story.
Yeah, and that was the thing, like, okay, so especially with like Fury Chan, the leader of the Dead Squad, right? How do we make someone so deplorable that the audience will just love to hate this guy, right? And we feel like we kind of captured that with him, but we had these sobering moments, like, so really all escalates toward the end of the first issue where we see Haley die. Hayden's girlfriend Haley dies. We see her strung up to a wall, blood written all over the place. It says elbows off the table. Her arm is shoved through her. Her elbows are mangled. And then we run downstairs. Liz is taken. Her lungs are cut out and thrown at Gabby. And it says smoking kills. And then we go outside. And then I'll go and let you guys take over now, because we can go ahead and get your reactions to I guess the issue as a whole you guys thought.
It was wonderful. And, yeah. And as somebody that, and I think I even said this, I'm not big on horror, but I am big on stuff that subverts expectations. And yeah, again, yeah, the passion comes through. And I was like, okay, the artwork is phenomenal. So that alone, not that the writing was bad, but the artwork was fantastic. So that's going to keep me hooked.
Oh, we know then, Brian carries us. We're fully aware.
And then the ending that just, we're just going to go over here now. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? I was just like, okay, I'm here for it. And again, it's I think you said it's going to be like what, 4 issues, whatever the total. Yeah. So I'm like, we're just going to bang, bang, bang through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bring it on. Just inject this right into my
veins.
That
was the thing for me, because, and it has nothing to do personally with you two. Whenever I get something, I'll explain my thought process here. Whenever I get something that is a different product from something I've already come to expect. So I already know about Pocus. So I'm like, okay, Grandma Chainsaw, a different thing. Therefore, change your expectations. And I'm getting horror, continued horror. I'm like, all right, cool. These guys can do this. This is cool. And that's why I made the comment I made the last time we talked. And to just basically, in a great way, to say, yeah, this is a middle finger to anybody that actually thinks they know what's going on. That's the way I felt about it. And I'm like, All right, I am not giving these guys enough credit for where they put their minds moving forward. And that is my favorite thing. I don't need to get the classics with a twist. I need random stuff. I like that. I really enjoy that. That's really the credit that I give to this one. I really did not even come close to anticipating or guessing. And that once that's it, and my mind is open like that, I'm like, what? I'm all in. I'm a lemming off a cliff. Like I'm good.
Trust and suspension of disbelief is you got me hooked.
Yeah. I mean, I read a lot, just to kind of reinforce that. I read a lot of experimental lit, not a lot, but sometimes I do. And I, whenever that happens, people will be like, why were you reading that to look intelligent or pretentious or whatever? It's like, no, I'm reading it because it's completely unlike any other thing on the planet, and I'm just bored of whatever conventions that are in other books at the time, so I mean, in my mind it's like, where can we go that's new, just new? And I don't care that it's bizarre and off the rails, and neither does Alan, as long as we earn the right to do that and we're not cheating our readers in some way.
And that's the thing, we're also trying to create something fresh and new for our readers, even when we're telling a Faustian tale or even when we're telling a story. We just want people to have fun reading this thing.
You mentioned Dr. Faustus with Pocus Hocus. It was never like, oh, we're going to do this great Faustian thing for comics, that's never been done before. It wasn't quite like that. It was just like, oh, okay, this pertains to like our interests and what we know, and we want to pay tribute to it. We're always thinking along those lines.
Every story has been told in some fashion, one way or another.
Right.
It's just about how you tell it.
Exactly. Yes.
So I do appreciate that, and very much looking forward to whenever it is that Grandma Chainsaw 2 hits Kickstarter. March. That drops.
So March? Get ready. March. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're going back to back. So once Pocus finishes and we get that done and we get Grandma Chainsaw to where we feel like a good spot to launch. So we're looking at end of March, beginning of April.
All right. So, well, I guess we'll be reaching out to you for the Six Timers Club then. Be back on. talking about that. So talk to me about some of these Kickstarter rewards then for Hocus 2-1, so to speak.
Yeah, so
you've got a number of variant covers, some gorgeous, gorgeous covers here. I do think I will have to get at least one or two of these variants, just because, again, I just appreciate, they're so beautiful. Just want to hold them.
I just want to hold them and cuddle them. So we kind of went a little overboard with this one. We have 7 covers total. We typically only have 4, but this one was more of a celebration thing for us. It's kind of a milestone that we made it to a second arc for this thing within a, what we feel like is kind of a short amount of time. Right. And we're just so happy with everything and how everything went. And we just reached out to people who've done covers for us before and some new people. And yeah, we just think it turned out great. And we, of course, always do our a la carte system where you can buy things as part of a bundle or buy them individually or just plug and play and make your own tier. So like, for example, you know, you could buy the regular covers, $10, and then all the variant covers are $12, or you can get 2 for $20, or you can get all 6 of those for $45. And then we, of course, have our 7th cover, which is done by Ryan Kincaid and Jesse. They got together and they made we wanted like an Emily pinup, one of it, just like a good classy vintage pinup, because that's what Ryan specializes in, is that type of art. And yeah, we just made it an exclusive. We have a holo foil and a metal version of it, and the metal version will be numbered kind of like the Grandma Chainsaw one that you guys saw, the glow, the metal one. That's probably one of my favorite covers, honestly, the Grandma Chainsaw one, the glow one that's numbered, the green one. I love that one.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Glad to have that one supported. Yeah. Like I said, these variant covers, this Summerdale cover is absolutely gorgeous. Love that style. As I said to you during pre-roll, very Mark Brooks-esque. And then this Sajjad Shah cover, there's no colors on it, but you could have this as just a black and white, just the pencils and the inks, and it would be goddamn delight.
Dude, I'll send it to you guys after the show's done. But Sajjad already did a cover for us for Grandma Chainsaw 2.
Oh, I need to see that.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, Sajjad is someone that we'll be keeping around. He's a really good guy to work with, and you'll see. I'll show you what a finished Sajjad cover looks like.
Oh man, inject this into my veins again. I'm here for it. This is beautiful. It's good stuff. And so I just happened to pop on Twitter, like live while we're recording. I said, oh, let me look up Sajjad Shah. And I see Matt, who's one of our patrons, just backed Hocus Hocus 2-1. Like it just popped up on the feed. So kudos to Matt.
Hey, Matt, what's up, man?
Appreciate that. Good stuff. So see, this is all the
sweet.
And so I haven't had a chance to like post about it yet in our Discord. So he found y'all. That's entirely, you know, on his own. So that's awesome. Yeah. So I do appreciate the build your own, the a la carte system.
Yeah.
I think I'll be doing that for this one because I do not need
another copy of the trade paperback.
I don't need another copy of the trade. I don't need all the prior covers of all the chapter one. I have all of those. So I'll just be focusing on just book two and chapter two, book one, and all that stuff. But very much looking forward to this. And again, looking forward to checking out the stuff for Grandma Chainsaw. So to wrap this up, Alan and Will, where can folks find you online?
So yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Chaps of Fury. Obviously, you can find us on Kickstarter. We're under Alan and Will, and we're the only people dumb enough to name our projects Grandma Chainsaw and Hocus Hocus. So you can search for us on there, and then that will easily find our stuff so you can follow us. I think the big one right now, and Will will probably also touch on it too, we've talked to a lot of creators about really how to get the word out, right? And they say social media used to be the way, but how the algorithms and everything gets so bogged down. So now we actually have a newsletter. It's thetophatstudios.substack.com. So that's kind of a good way to keep up with us as our newsletter.
Yeah. Well, just to be really quick, my personal handles, Instagram, willrad82, and then Vimeo. If you want to check out any of my film and video work, it's vimeo.com/willrad, WILLRAD. The Substack is something that I'm excited about, of course. And I think it's been really cool, I think, for us to not just like keep that lifeline with our fans, like that connection to our fans, but also just in terms of like our own creativity and writing and that kind of thing, that's been its own new, fun thing to explore. I'm very excited about that. And I think as far as locating us on online goes and keeping up with us and everything that we're doing, I would say that's probably the best way to do that is like a whole for these comics. So yeah, Substack is growing by the day. So
I've seen a lot of creators promote their Substack on various social medias and they say, hey, sign up to the newsletter and you get the free tier. And I guess there's like paid tiers and subscriptions and stuff that allows you additional content. So we'll have links to all that in the show notes because as Chris from Play Comics, who I know you speak to as well, he always says clicking on stuff is a lot easier than spelling it out or trying to type it into your browser.
Always, never not.
Absolutely. So we're going to shift around the schedule after this a little bit. So next week is when we will drop the Ted Anderson interview about his graphic novel Side Effects. And then to tie into Ant-Man Quantumania, we will be doing Kang the Conqueror. And then we will get into Animal Sidekicks. So we've got some good stuff there. We just talked about Chris from Play Comics. You can check out him. Hopefully you guys end up back on that show.
We always do. Yeah,
I'm sure you do. So you can find Chris, us, and a whole host of other shows at our network page, which is GunnaGeek.com or GunnaGeekNetwork.com. We are proud members of the Gunna Geek Network. So check out the other fantastic and amazing shows on that site. You can find all of our episodes on our website, capesonthecouch.com. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Capes on the Couch. And you can send us an email to capesonthecouch@gmail.com with any questions. And I think just based on the sheer amount of stuff that we have from you guys, I could probably put together some kind of a giveaway to promote the Kickstarter here. So stay tuned to the socials and we'll have some kind of a giveaway where I can send somebody maybe the copy of one of the trades for volume one or chapter one to get folks caught up on that. And maybe one or two of the variants. I don't know. I'll figure it out. The stuff will be on the socials, but we'll do some kind of a giveaway to spread the gospel and the word of you guys, Alan and Will. Thank you as always for coming back on the show. And like I said, we'll be talking, I'm sure, late March for Grandma Chainsaw. We'll squeeze you in the schedule as we always do.
Well, thank you guys. And we cannot wait to come back on. And like always, we want to say just thank you, one, for having us on. And thank you to anyone listening. And thank you guys for supporting us and giving us your hard-earned money. It means more than you'll ever know.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to fanboy just a little bit because it looks like Alan or Will, whoever put this up on our link while we're doing this chat, I've already looked at these images. This is awesome with these. Oh my God, the freaking covers, man. Yo, Anthony, have you looked at these?
I was doing a couple other things, but I am going there right now. Holy smoke. Okay. Yeah.
These are the first three covers we have for Grandma Chainsaw.
Yo,
you can tell which one. Yeah, you can tell which one the Sajjad one is, I think.
Yes. Oh, yes. Sajjad, gorgeous artwork. No, this first one.
Yeah, the very first one. That was the thing. I wasn't even talking about Sajjad. I mean, it's cool, but I'm just saying that very first. I'm like, all right.
Okay, I'm here. I'm here for
we'll talk about it in the green room.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you again, Alan and Will, as always. For Doc Issues, I'm Anthony Sitko. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Capes on the Couch podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Dr. Issues is a psychiatrist, but he is not your psychiatrist and does not have knowledge of your individual situation. For any personal mental health concerns, please consult your own healthcare providers. For medical emergencies, please call 911 or the designated number in your area immediately. Remember that you are not alone and help is out there.